Everybody's doing well this morning.
Amen.
Hope we had a great Thanksgiving.
Awesome.
Yes. I hear Shamarta had a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
All the different turkeys.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
All family.
Man. Now I know we've done deep fried, we've done roast, and we've done smoked. Don't let think you can do turkeys and so many other fashions. You've got to be seasoning it with other things to make it great. Now, smoke is good. Smoked turkey almost tastes like ham to me.
Yeah.
But it's good anyway. It's grateful. It's grateful, you know. We're going to be on 1 Thessalonians 5 this morning. It's great to be a giver.
Amen.
It's great to be a giver. When I say that, you have to like to give. You have to want to. Like, I want to. Who can I give to? Mm-hmm. What can I give them?
Right.
I want to give them something. I just find joy in giving, you know. It's great to be a giver. It is. It's great to be a receiver. It's great to receive a gift. Mm-hmm. It's always fun to receive gifts, get something. But sometimes our pride would get in the way because we're like, nah, you don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. Now you have to do that. I'm older now. You say you're going to give me something, I'm taking it. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to tell you not to stop. I'm going to say, bring it on. Bring it on. But at some points in our life, we just feel like, well, no, I don't want to receive it. It's okay, okay. And you over there struggling and dying and ain't got this and trying to figure out how it's going to work out. But you know, when people offer, it's great to be on the receiving end, right, as well as it is great to be on the giving end, I should say.
Yeah.
Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, we're going to talk about give thanks in all circumstances.
Come on.
The key word is in all circumstances.
Yes.
Because we can give thanks for a lot of things. But it just depends on what's happening at that particular time in our life.
That's right.
Am I really thankful for this? Am I really thankful that I have to go through this? Mm. And sometimes you're not. But when we get older, we find out that hindsight reminds us that was good, that needed to happen in our life.
Amen. Yep.
You know, over 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 says, rejoice always. He said, be happy always. Mm-hmm. Rejoice always. Be in a good mood. Always. What a challenge. Pray continuously. The second challenge. Never stop praying. You need to always be in prayer. Then he goes on to say, give thanks in all circumstances. Mm-hmm. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Three challenges. You need to always be happy. You need to always be praying. You need to always be giving thanks, regardless of what's going on in your life. What are the challenges? Wow. You know, every circumstance that has occurred in my life, I don't know about you, but my life did not prompt me to give thanks at that particular time when I was going through it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you about me. When I was going through it, I didn't see what, been thankful for what. I feel like I didn't ask for this. I didn't want this. Every circumstance didn't prompt me to do that at that particular time. You know, some circumstances that I went through were my own decisions. Ain't that something? Mm-hmm. My own choice. Because I had this idea of what it was supposed to look like, or what it was supposed to turn out to be. Kind of found out it didn't turn out that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I found myself in these so-called circumstances, I realized that this was not what I envisioned. Mm-hmm. You know, let's talk about my choices. Turn to Philippians 2:14. Let's talk about my choices and how sometimes I end up in certain circumstances that all of a sudden I just don't feel like, I'm grateful for this, that I'm grateful that this is happening. But I'm going to turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. And I remember, being a young disciple in some groups, you know, and I remember, you know, just being young people, just being people in general, we can grumble. We can be grumblers. Some of us are more grumblers than others. We got a complaint for everything. We just got a complaint for everything that's happening. You know, I tell you, you know, me and Todd was talking about the Alabama game, and I'm thinking of another friend. I'm like, you know, he's a big LSU fan. And he swears every day, he said, the guy's name is not Nick Saban. His name is Nick Satan. That's what he calls him. He said, this guy, this team just always win. And he always grumbles. This is the type of season, like, he just grumbles, like, LSU, you know, just Alabama. But you know, some of us, just by people, just by nature, see, all of us, we're just grumblers. But you know, the challenges that God gives us in Philippians 2, verse 14 says, do everything without grumbling or argue. Some Bible verses say, do everything without grumbling or complaining. So that you may become blameless. What? So I have to stop grumbling so that I can become blameless and pure. So when I grumble, I'm not pure. I'm not blameless. All the challenges get deeper. He says, children of God, without fault in a warped and corrupt generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. You know, giving thanks in all circumstances, a lot of times revolves around my choices.
Yep.
Sometimes I don't put myself in the best situation in life. Sometimes I hear the advice, but it's not the advice that I want.
Right.
And I've already made up my mind that I'm going to do it anyway. And I love that about, you know, that God's plan. God, like, you can do whatever you want to do, but God's like, I just want to encourage you to get much advice and weigh the advice against what you're thinking about doing. But sometimes we don't weigh the advice about what I want to do. We just like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm just so anxious. I want to see it happen. Right. And then we get there, we're like, oh, this is a disaster. It's a mess. Yeah. And then pride kicks in, and we're like, I don't want to tell nobody that I did it because I'm too embarrassed. I don't want to let people know. And then I want to come off and tell people that I did do it. I want to have this kind of like little false ability. Yeah, I know you told me. Yeah, this little false ability about it. It's like, but it's just a horrible situation. But you know, I'm grateful for the mercy that God puts in other people's hearts to work with us.
That's
to
right.
help us to get through some bad decisions we make in life.
Yep.
Now, not every decision that we made has been bad, but some of them have been bad to like, I wish I could just erase that trauma from my mind. Wish I could just forget it. You know, while on vacation, we were staying at a Residence Inn. I love it because they love studio rooms, you know. And stayed at this Residence Inn before. And you know, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes you stay at a hotel and you like it, but sometimes you have a bad experience.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you don't want to go back there no more.
Right.
But then you go to another hotel and you're like, but this is not like what they're offering over there.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm going to give them a second chance. I'm going to be forgiving. I'm going to give them a second chance. So go to the hotel, get there, you know, they get the big sign on the door. So, you know, the county has a mask mandate and all that stuff. Go through some, just observing and looking. And so we go to breakfast, and we have breakfast, and I see this lady over here with the two kids. And it's kind of a lot of us in there for breakfast. And she's just really giving the kids a hard time. You know, and everybody's kind of noticing this. She's like, it's really like being rigid and just like, don't do this, don't do that. You can do it like that. And so one of the servers, this older lady came over. She said, ma'am, well, he needs to be 12 to, you know, fix it up. She's just like freaking out. She's like, okay. So then she goes on, we're kind of going on, and then she kind of gets freaked out again and starts getting rigid and start addressing her emotions toward another guest there and one of the workers there. And so the lady comes back over and she said, man, we won't come here. She said, well, you said they can't do this and we can do this and we got to have gloves, we got to do like this. And she said, calm down. She says, this is a new worker, I can deal with that. But you can't take your anger or your anxiety out on other guests. And I said, I just believe I'm following the rules. She said, and it's okay. It's okay. You do that. But you don't want to take it out on people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm observing this. I'm just so grateful because this lady who works here in the kitchen didn't have to do that. Didn't have to step in and intervene on the behalf of all the other guests and this young lady helping her to calm down. Because her kids are looking like, okay, we're just like spazzed out. And all the guests are like, what's really going on here? But I was grateful that here's a worker out of the kitchen stepped out and said, let me help you with this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Calm down. It's okay. You don't have to be so rigid about this. We all know what's going on. Calm down. You know, when you're trying to find the many things that you want to be grateful for, sometimes you miss seeing the little things that people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
This lady's choice to freak out was not helping nobody, to be extreme about the situation. We all know what's going on in the country, what's happening. But the other lady in the kitchen was working realized, I'm going to intervene and help her calm down.
Yep.
So that her and her kids can have a great breakfast this morning. So all the rest of the guests can feel like we're welcome. You know, a lot of times I am grateful for the things that other people do in my life.
Yep.
A lot of people do a lot of things in my life. Are you grateful for the many little things that people do in your life?
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of other people right now working on your behalf and you don't even know it. There are strangers you're going to encounter who are going to do something. And if you take a step back and realize what they're doing is making the environment or the area, it's making it more pleasant where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we miss that. I didn't miss that when that lady stepped in and did that. I thought, that's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. You know, the choices we make do affect others.
Yes.
The choices and how we perceive or we cast our thoughts or our emotions on others, people take notice. You know, this young lady was so worried about everybody else that she failed to realize that she was working herself up into a frenzy. Are we like that sometimes? We're so focused on being, I got to cross all my T's and dot all my I's, that we don't realize how it's affecting us and our relationship with other people. She was worried about so many other people. You know, there's a scripture, I think, at the end of John, the Gospel of John, when Jesus tells Peter about how his life is going to end. And it just so happened that John, since what he loved, was back there hearing all this. Don't you hate when people hear what's going on, somebody's telling you something like, this has nothing to do with you? And Peter, in retaliation, turns around and says, well, what about him? What's going to happen to him? Why is he going to die? And Jesus said, don't worry about him. This is a conversation I'm having with you. Granted, he's in earshot, I'm having with you. But you and I both know, we don't like nobody here when we get corrected, do we?
Nope.
We don't. Why you correct me for them? We don't like that. But you know, that lady was very gentle with her and what she did. You know, focus on what God has asked you to do is a challenge. But are you willing to focus on what God has asked you to do? Have you taken time to sit down and think, what is God asking me to do these days? Regardless of how other people respond to God's command, will you stay focused on what God has asked of you? Stop looking for ways to disobey. Stop looking for the loophole in your relationship with God.
Come on.
We can do that. How can I get around this? How do I do this? Stop looking for ways to do that. Be grateful that God has chose you. Find value in his decisions about you. And shine like a star in a corrupt and crooked generation.
Mm-hmm.
Just try to do everything without complaining. That's probably hard. You know, there's some people that push out buttons. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, for some of us who are older, we get a little older, we realize we don't let too many things push our buttons anymore. You know, some things may still bother us. We just don't let it, like, boil up to where, like, okay, you're about to get the full rage of me coming out. But, you know, some of us are older and wise, we're like, okay, I'm not going to let that bother me too bad, but I'm going to pray about it. I'm either going to talk about it or I'm going to deal with it. But in order to shine like stars in a corrupt and a crooked world, ain't there something? We have been tasked. What phrases it say? Praying, rejoicing, and giving thanks in all circumstances that we are put in. The only way you can do that is to be grateful. To be grateful at all times, regardless of what is going on. You know, I made it home to my family, and it was great to be there. And, you know, my mom, my sister, you know, my brother, everybody, you know, just really great, a lot of love and everything. Scott was asking me earlier, how was it? And I was like, hey, dude, my mom just make sure. You're just going to be loved. And, you know, they loved up on Candace a lot. They spoiled her. They just, whatever she wanted, they gave it to her, you know. I'm like, girl, you come over with a pair of shoes. You came over with what? Got it. She got an iPad, a pair of shoes. She got, I'm like, you're getting a lot of stuff out of this here, you know.
Early Christmas.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking like, but like, I'm the firstborn, you know. I'm not saying I'm jealous, Mom. I'm just like, I'm your firstborn. She's about to, they loved her to death. But she was grateful. She was grateful. Me and Sharice left early coming back, and she wrote back to Aaron, and she said, well, I want to stay later. I said, okay, I got to hit the road. I got to make my way up. But she was grateful. All the kids were grateful. My mom was grateful. And I think it's one of the great things about, you know, being grateful in all circumstances, that when you have an opportunity to give, be grateful to give. My mom and dad had so much joy just giving. They just gave. It's like this wanted just to give. My sisters gave. Even though one of my baby sister and her husband, this was amazing. They drove his grandmother passed. And really on his side of the family, his father's mother who passed this week, and 2 weeks ago it was his mother's dad who passed. Mm-hmm. So they're doing back-to-back funeral. They drove up, did that funeral, and they came back, stopped by the house that night where we was over there, saw us, and came back the next day, and still gave it the next day, kept us around shopping, they did a birthday celebration for Sharice. They just gave all that's going on. And I thought, wow, this is something to be grateful for. It's grateful because a lot of families are not doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of families respond differently to what's going on in their life.
Right.
But you know, it's great to be a giver. And that's what I saw in my family. They were grateful that they could just give. They had the opportunity. They were grateful about that. You know, and my daughter, my kids, they were grateful to receive it. And I was too, the love that they lavished on us, you know. But going over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. You know, we talked about our choice and the choices that we make that put us in certain circumstances that we found like I wasn't grateful for the circumstances that I got put in because of my decisions. But now we're going to talk about God's choice in your life and how God has chosen to put you in certain situations. God's always looking for somebody to test. But in chapter 1, verse 3, it says, I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience as night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. What a great encouraging letter that Paul writes to start out with Timothy there.
Mm-hmm.
So challenging. You know, God has put a lot of people in our lives.
Yeah. Yep.
In our lifetime. You're talking about friends, family, strangers, co-workers. God's put a lot of people in our lives.
Yep.
Now, if you take time to think back, think about your walk as a disciple and all the stuff that you went through. All the, as we used to say, the bonehead decisions we made. All the situations I shared to be in. All the prideful situations. Oh, I thought it right. All the things. And think about all the people that God, the disciple and partners, that he put in your life that help you to navigate through all that. Think about it. Think about when you thought you weren't going to be able to get out of a certain situation. You're like, this was the end back then. Think about all the people that God put in your life to help you get out of that situation, to help bail you out. When you're thinking about being grateful for people, just think about being grateful for God's choice of the people he allowed to come in your life during that time.
That's right.
I can tell you, I remember Terry Davenport talking about this a lot, about this time. That brother helped me to realize, you know, understand what time it was and understand what my situation was. And it says, it's great you have a heart. You want to give 10%, but your budget don't say that. You're drowning. If not for Terry Davenport, I'd probably still be drowning today. He showed me, said, you need to work up to that 10%. Brother, God not going in the world because you can't give 10% today. I'll never forget that. You need to work up to it. But I was grateful for Terry today. Brett Laurie Caswell, grateful for this guy. Helped me through a lot of hard times where I wasn't getting things right. I wasn't understanding what I'm like. Why are they not doing this? When I was being extremely rigid. Grateful for that. Prentice Brooks, when we did not have great transportation, he would lend me one of his cars, always. Here, take my car, go, grab it, use it. Notorious. Drove all his cars except for one vehicle. I love you. I'm keeping it in mental, like, you got a new truck. I haven't driven it yet. Samuel Smalley. I said, boy, this don't make no sense. He done bought him a whole new truck, so when I got home, he bought him this nice, big, beautiful red Dodge Ram Redskin fan. I'm talking about diehard. You go in this bathroom, boy, you like at a shrine. It's Redskin off. I said, how many Cowboys fans that came up here and threw up? Little guys doing that. But, you know, I look at these people played a part in my life. You know, Smiley helped me during the time when I was spiritually struggling. But his wife and him would say, no, you helped us when our marriage was not so great. But I wasn't thinking about it at the time. I was thinking about, what was me?
Right.
Do you remember the people that God put in your life?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember those people? Do you remember what they did for you? Uh-huh. Do you remember how they came to your aid? Your times when you cried? I cried in front of plenty of brothers, and they had to come for me. Do you remember being mad with people? I don't care if they was in leadership or not. Who was that brother or sister that came in your life and helped you through it? Do you remember when you were being so prideful, didn't want to hear nobody, your chest stuck out, you're puffed up? Who was that that gave you that hard discipling time? I remember those times. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know, what family or friend are you grateful for? Who have shown you love even still to this day?
Yeah.
Come on. Who has not forgotten you even to this day?
Right.
Who still remembers you even to this day? Somebody you might think that you're not worthy to even be in their presence, but they still remember you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't remember the bad you did. They remember the good you did. Mm-hmm. They remember the good parts about you. The love that's in you.
Right.
The ones who saw and still see the potential in you to rise above your sinful nature.
That's so true.
Are you grateful for those people?
Yeah.
Are you grateful for those people? You know, God chose the people who should be in your life at the right times.
Mm-hmm.
What times were those for you? You know, I'm grateful for the church here, because I've been through a lot. But I'm grateful. And a lot of you have been around for it. Remember when I was falling sick? Richard DeNorm, always around. Even visited Sharice in the hospital when I wasn't there. Always around. Kevin and Lisa Herman. Lisa drove down when Sharice had a stroke. Kim sat in the hospital the whole day while they were in the hospital. I remember that. Gloria, always been there, coming over. What can we do? All right, come on, Reese. We got to do something. We got to push through. Always. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Patricia, coming over, sitting with Sharif, talking, hanging out. Grateful. Julia, coming over. I remember sitting in our old house in the front room talking to Sharif. Grateful. Tammy and Harry Harrington, when Sharif had a stroke, they had just lost their daughter a month later.
Mm-hmm.
Going through that, the loss of the daughter Alexis, and they were still giving during that time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful for this whole church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful for everybody. Chris said, "Man, we'll come to your house." I'm like, "No, I'll come to you." "No, let me go to you. I know you'll come. But I know you got college work, school work, and I know just studying hurts my head. So let me come to you. Let me take some of the pressure off of you." But grateful. Grateful. I am grateful for this church, because this church has been with me through everything that I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
Everything my family's been through. I'm grateful. You know, look at where you are today and look at where you've been and think, wow, I'm so glad that God not only chose me, but he chose me to be a part of a church that would help to take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
God's choice. Finally, guys, let's go to chapter 1, 1 John, chapter 1. 1 John, chapter 2. We talked about my choice. I need to be grateful of many circumstances I may have put myself in, and they may not have been a great circumstance, but looking back, being grateful. Life experience, been through, we're talking about God's choice, being grateful, God choosing the people that he put in my life so that I could be able to live life and make it through life. And finally, we're going to talk about, what role will you choose going forward?
Mm-hmm.
What role will you choose to travel? And no matter what role you choose to travel, you're going to have to learn to be grateful whatever comes.
Mm-hmm.
But 1 John chapter 2, make sure I'm in the right place. Yeah, chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever."
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There's one role you can choose, but he's telling you don't love the world, because he's telling you what the world is based on. The lust of our flesh, the lust of our eyes. And oh man, how many times have we been warned about our pride? The pride of life. Turn me over to Hebrews 2. We're going to wrap it up. little bit more. These two go together here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. So they warn you about don't fall in love with the world. As you continue to travel through what you travel. But Hebrews 2, chapter 2, verse 1, he says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard them. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. You know, if you're going to be grateful in all circumstances going forward, you got to decide which road you're going to travel. You just got to decide which road you're going to take. Now, if you go the way of the world, God tells you what the world is based on. The lust of your flesh, the lust of your eyes, and oh, how big can your pride really grow? And over here in Hebrews, he says, well, hey, well, let me give you a warning, and let me remind you of God's word and God's faithfulness. No, he says, he wants you to be careful and to remind you of the things that you heard. He says, so that you do not drift away. Mm-hmm. You can drift away so easily. Mm-hmm. But he says, for since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, he says, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? And that's going to be key going forward. Not only should you not ignore a great salvation which came by way of Jesus Christ, but you should embrace it, understand it, live it out, and shine so people know what salvation looks like. Mm-hmm. If you're going to ignore salvation, you might as well be shooting yourself in the head.
Yep.
Not in the foot. The foot you can heal from.
Right.
The head is a death wound.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're going to ignore salvation. You know, God says he's testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles. And we see that in Scripture. Which road will you travel? Will you travel the road where God offers hope and salvation? Or will you travel the road of the world, which offers destruction, disappointment, agony, pain, suffering? In this world, there are so many of us who deals with depression. I don't care if you're on medication or not. We all have had severe moments of depression. Mm-hmm. And it's a mental fight, whether you're medicated or not. It's a mental fight.
Yep.
And it's an emotional fight, whether you're medicated or not. But you know, if you travel the road following God, even though you would have encounters of things that would sadden your heart, things that will hurt you, things that will make you think, things that would disappoint you, you will overcome it because God is our strength.
That's right.
And when you travel the road with God, you will find out that no matter what you go through, no matter what situation you are put in, whether it's by your choice or not, man, you will find gratitude in that moment. You will feel grateful in that moment because you will know that you are not walking alone, but that God is leading the way and that you are secure and safe.
Amen.
Amen.
What circumstances did you find yourself in this Thanksgiving? Was it all good?
Pretty much, yeah.
Amen. Was it all bad? But the moment that you did find yourself in was a moment of being grateful. Yes. How many of you looked around and thought, wow, what a blessing?
Yeah.
How many of you really looked around and thought, I had a place to be with some people?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Family.
Yeah.
Family. I'm here to tell you, my mom and dad, love them to death, my sister, they are my family. But yeah. I'm here to tell you, mm-hmm. you are my family too.
Mm-hmm.
You are just as important as my mom, my dad, my brothers, and my sisters. Mm-hmm. That goes beyond any blood. It is God's spirit that ties us together.
Mm-hmm.
It was great to hear that the Rankins, the Colbanks, the Raymonds all got together. Mm-hmm. Now, man, that's a Hallmark moment. Mm-hmm. So that's the Hallmark. You get strangers and everybody come to their house and everybody, we just all love each other and we're grateful to be together. I thought, that's a Hallmark moment. Mm-hmm. Encouraged by that. But it's also great to hear that we also got a chance to go to our own families mm-hmm. and do some great things.
Yeah.
You know, the road that God wants us to travel is a righteous road.
Mm-hmm.
He says it over and over. And on that road of righteousness, God wants us to love people, encourage people, build people up, and be grateful for them. God wants us to realize that people are people. They would fail because we fail.
Mm-hmm.
They would drop the ball because we dropped the ball.
That's right.
But God still wants us to be grateful for them.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that salvation is still an option for them.
Yeah.
At that hotel, when I saw that lady, and she's freaking out, her kids look like, we don't know what's going on, what to do. A worker cooks in the kitchen, making breakfast, serving me and everybody there, stepped in, and she saw, hold on, we can resolve this issue.
Mm-hmm.
We can resolve this issue. We can fix this. In the end, the lady calmed down.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Her and his kids sat down, had breakfast. The lady in the kitchen, so they made sure everything was taken care of. And all the guests were happy, including the one who was freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
I was grateful for seeing just a little bit of glimpse of what I consider to be God is working in this.
Because
mm-hmm. other people would be like, oh no, I can retaliate back with you.
Right.
Amen.
As we go forward, let's make sure we pick the right road to travel.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And let's be grateful for whatever comes on that road in our direction. Because we know that God is the creator of all things and Jesus is still the King.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you guys so much.
Amen.